Christ. Again, we appreciate so much everybody here. Good to have all our members here, and appreciate everybody coming. Appreciate those that are listening on the live stream. We appreciate so much those that are being able to do that from around the world, especially our members that are still at home. We hope that everything's going well for you, and we hope that you'll be able to keep your health and your safety, and in a short while, of course, be back with us. Our services, as always, we have them at 10 a.m. on Lord's Day morning, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Also, we're having our Bible class during that time, and you're welcome to turn in on the live stream and to listen to that. Again, we're thankful for each and every one of you tuning in. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Dennis now to lead us in our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity we get to come here and hear another portion of your word to proclaim you as the true and the one living God. We thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross, his overcoming death, and allowing us to have hope of eternal life one day. We ask you to be with Brother Paul this morning as he brings us another lesson from your word. Help him to have a ready recollection of the things he's prepared to say, and help us to be receive it with an open mind and a receptive heart. We pray for those who are not able to be here today because of sickness. We ask you to be with them, those on our prayer list. We ask you to be with those who are mourning the death of loved ones, especially the Henderson family. We ask you to help them in their time of grief and give them peace and comfort. We pray that we'll live our lives in a manner that one day we'll be able to go to heaven with you. We ask you to forgive us when we make mistakes in our lives, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask you to forgive us if we want to be forgiven, and help us to always treat others like we should want to be treated. We ask you as we go through this service to go with us and continue with us throughout our lives, and give us a home with you in heaven when this life is over. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
The saying, the Lord is my shepherd.
The cry of one.
Next on me, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Right down on my knees, till in your own good time, you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Number 766, the Christians welcome home.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody. Appreciate everybody here. Good to have all the Bradford clan here with us, taking up the whole road. That's good. And we appreciate so much everybody that's here. Glad those that have been traveling that are back with us. Appreciate so much your interest over the last months. I know it's been hard for everybody, but you've been worshiping at home and worshiping with us and doing your Bible studies and so forth. Continue to keep on growing. And the Lord's always with us, as we'll talk about today in our lesson. Okay, please stand now for the reading. It's from Proverbs, our book we're studying. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible reads, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. Throughout our life, we are given helps. And these helps help us through our journey. They help us to make our life easier and hopefully safer. We have parents, friends, and family, and they help guide us. And they teach us how to do things and how to grow in certain aspects of our life. We have street lights, we have road signs and directions, and they help us to stay away from physical types of danger and dangerous areas. We have teachers and coaches and doctors and dentists, and they help us learn how to take care of certain parts of our body and in our life. So in our spiritual life, in our spiritual search, we have the Bible. It teaches us, because it's our guide, but it teaches us about who our guide is. And His name is God. God is your guide. When we talk about God, we're talking about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They make up the Godhead or the Godhood. This guide, as we say, God, He gives us one book, and that's the Bible that we have. It guides us how to be into His family. It guides us how to stay faithful in His family. It tells us how to keep our lives on the right road to heaven. He's the guide, just like the street signs. Arrows point the way to go. God points the way to go. The danger signs, God gives you danger signs. This guide, God now, He wants you to love Him. He wants you to serve Him. So in this book, in this guide, He talks about who He is. He talks about where He came from and all those kind of things. The New Testament, though, is where a person usually begins to learn about how do you become a Christian? Well, we turn to the gospel message. And how do you get free from the burdens of sin? Well, we've been studying in Galatians. They couldn't, and they had to wait for the new law to come. And what about, how are your sins washed away anyways? Well, by the Savior's blood. Well, where do you read about that account? You see, the gospel message is where we find this. But our guide, the Bible, and our guide, God, is talked about so much in the Old Testament book, the book of Proverbs. In fact, the book of Proverbs is sometimes referred to as the Old Testament gospel message. In Matthew 15 and verse 14, here's Jesus uses this statement, and I think it fits so much into our lesson about being a guide. Matthew 15, 14. Jesus says, "Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch." If we're led by a false guide, we're both going to fall into a spiritual ditch. And that's why we have the New Testament, of course, but that's why we have the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, in so many ways, introduces the gospel message. It says, listen, there's a Savior coming, and God's going to guide you through your life, but you need to know who your guide is. How do you know if the blind are being led? The blind person can't see. And if someone says, come on, I'll guide you, but that person's blind too, what happens? You see, we're blind spiritually. We're blind spiritually. So we need a guide. And someone says, I'm your guide. Someone said, Muhammad says, I'm your guide. Buddha says, I'm your guide. Jesus says, I'm your guide. Well, which guy is your guide? Because if you don't, the wrong one, you're going to fall into the spiritual ditch. And that's what you have in the book of Proverbs. You have God describing who He is. And after you finish reading the book of Proverbs, you'll say, I want this God to guide me. And we've got to make sure that we're following the right God. And that's what we have in the book of Proverbs. That's why our theme this year comes from the book of Proverbs, learning to be wise. Well, what does the book of Proverbs teach with regards to who's God? And what does He do? Well, here's the first thing God is. Our guide is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Turn to Proverbs 3, 19, 20. It's the only God who's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Proverbs 3 and then verse 19. It says, the Lord by wisdom, He founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. You see, God, our guide, who is He? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And not only that, He sustains it. He makes sure that it keeps on functioning. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 9. This is the God we serve. When we come to the New Testament and the God tells you, you need to repent and be baptized. Well, who is this God? The God who's talking to you is the one who created heavens and the earth and the one who sustains it. Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God's the one who directs your steps. Now, you don't have to follow His steps, but He directs you. He tells you which way to go. One day, the world will not be here. The Bible says it's going to dissolve in fervent heat. The heavens and the earth will be dissolved. Well, who decides when that happens? I'll tell you who does. The God who's our spiritual guide does. The God who tells us how to become a Christian. The God who tells us how to stay faithful. That's who does. Because He sustains everything. He sees everything that's going on. And this God that we serve, the book of Proverbs tells us, He made both the rich and the poor. The black and the white. The male and the female. He made us all in His image. And that's why He's the God of all. No first name. There's not the Jews being chosen special. No. There's Jew and Gentile. Not just the man. Some religions have the men. Women walk behind. No, not this God. He says men and women. Yeah, but what about those that are just poor and have no money, have nothing? No. There's neither rich nor poor. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 2. We know those verses from the New Testament, but the book of Proverbs teaches that. This is the God who's our guide. Proverbs 22 and in verse 2. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. You see, that's the God we serve. Proverbs is getting us ready to listen to this message that's going to be for everybody. And not only does He make us all, and made us all, He watches over everybody. Look at Proverbs 15:3. It doesn't matter what country you live in. It doesn't matter your economical level. It doesn't matter anything. Your athletic ability, how smart you are. Look at Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. You see, God is listening. He's watching for everybody. His message that's going to come out in the book of, as you read in the book of Acts, when the gospel's being preached, it's going to go out to everybody now. Everybody's going to have an opportunity. He's watching. He's going to see who's going to answer the call as a believer to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He's watching. And then He's also watching to see those who did it, if they're staying faithful. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we're going to be introduced to, you see, when we get to the New Testament times. And God, though, tells us this. He's got a special place for the disadvantaged. He's got a special place for the poor and the needy and the helpless. And I think there's a reason for that. Of course, everybody, I mean, that's the way our hearts are made. If we see a dog, maybe that's been hit by a car on the side of the road and it's just, it's in a lot of pain, all of a sudden we feel bad for it. Or we hear a story about a little baby that's sick, well, we feel bad. Or someone in an act, that's the way we're made. We're made to have a heart that gets touched. And so God says, I want you all to know, I've got a special place for those, and it may be for lots of reasons, but they just have a hard time getting the things in life that everybody else does. Proverbs and 22. Proverbs 22. And in verse 22, listen to what the Lord says. He's got a special place for those who are poor. And when you think about the gospel message in the book of Acts, the first people that obeyed, there were some lawyers and there were some rich And there were some of those of priestly attire and so forth, but not very many. Most of the early Christians were those who really didn't have very much. And so look what he says in 22:22 of Proverbs. Don't rob the poor because he's poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord's going to please their cause, and he's going to plunder the souls of those who plunder him. You take advantage of the poor and needy, or you don't use your abilities to help them, you better get ready for the Lord. He's going to be upset with you. That's the Lord. That's why when you read the book of Proverbs and you hear about what God's like, and then he tells you to go into all the world. Who do I go to all the world? You go to everybody. Well, I'm just going to the rich because they can help. No, you better go to the rich and the poor. And not only that, when you see the poor, you better spend a little extra time with them because God says that's what his people are going to do because the world won't spend time with them, but we're going to spend time with them. The book of Proverbs, you see, that's just a few things. It teaches us over and over again the character of God. So then we can get ready to put that character in our life. So then it'll be easy for us to become a Christian when we study the plan. It'll be easy for us to serve the Lord as a New Testament Christian, as we say, because we've learned from the book of Proverbs how to have godly character. Remember, the God who's our guide, now when we get to the New Testament, he's going to guide us how to get into his family. He's going to guide the church, how the church should function, the things the church should do, because he's creator of all. He loves all. He cares for all. He watches all. That's the gospel message, you see, that the book of Proverbs teaches. Then we get to the New Testament, of course. Then we're going to be told, how do you become a Christian? How do you serve the Lord? So that's who God is. Now, the book of Proverbs also tells us what God loves. And when you get to the New Testament, this is what the New Testament Christian should love. And then he tells us what he hates. That's what the New Testament Christian ought to hate. Here's the first thing God loves and he hates. He loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness. Look at Proverbs 15 and 9. He loves right living. That's really what we're saying. And he hates wickedness. Now, hate means to love less. He still loves the person. He still loves their soul, but he hates what they're doing. A lot of times people might ask you, what do you think about this sin or that sin? And a lot of times, people are trying to get an argument with you. And a lot of times they're trying to say, well, what do you think about whatever the main sin in this is going? Well, what do you think about homosexuality? Well, what do you think about that? And a good answer is, you know what? I think the same thing about that as I do lying. Well, you see, one they think is a terrible one and one's not so bad. And probably the one who's asking it, he lies. We all lie sometimes, I'm sure. And you say, I think the same of that, of both of them. Well, what's that? God thinks that they're both wicked. Wicked means not according to righteousness. That's what you're saying. Well, what about this sin? I think it's the same as being dishonest. You do? Yes. A sin's a sin. God loves what's right. He hates what's wrong. Now, you got to find out what's wrong, but you got to understand there is a difference. Proverbs 15 and 9. The way of the wicked is what? It's an abomination to the Lord. But he loves him who follows righteousness. So now when you get to the New Testament, we have verses like, you can't serve God and mammon. You know, flee all appearances of evil. Why? Because they're wicked. You see, the book of Proverbs teaches us. It gets our mind ready now for the New Testament message. Love righteousness, and you got to hate evil. He also says he loves the good person. He loves the good person in his ways, but he hates the wicked person's actions. That's what we said, Proverbs 12 and 2. He still loves us, but he doesn't like our actions. Because look what it says in 12:2. A good man or a righteous man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he'll condemn. He still is going to hold out and hope he changes. But God loves the good person's actions, and he hates the wicked person's actions. So that gets us ready now for the New Testament. God loves honesty. He despises dishonesty. Proverbs 11 and verse 1. We talked about this before, about the scales in the book of Revelation. where the Christians, one of the idea how the Christians were going to be have a hard time. The horse, the man on the horse has the scales and they're not balanced and the Christians are being disadvantaged. And here's what it says in Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but just weights is His delight. He loves people who are honest, but despises dishonesty. So when it comes to New Testament Christian, I tell you what, you better be honest. You got to be honest. He loves the truth, and He hates lies. Look at Proverbs 17:22. 17 and verse 22. Let's go to 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination. There it is. Remember, wickedness was. Now, lying's abomination, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. God cannot stand lying. But He loves people that speak the truth. He loves the prayer of the righteous, but not the prayers of the wicked. Look at Proverbs 15:8. 15:8. He hears the prayers of the wicked. He hears the prayers of those who aren't that aren't living right. And maybe He'll guide somebody into their life. Cornelius was an upright man trying to serve the Lord, but he still needed to learn how to become a Christian. Somebody was led into his life. Look at Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. There he goes. Third time abomination is used. But the prayer of the upright is His delight. So that tells us when it comes time for us to pray, don't pray with sin in your life that you're not trying to help, you're not trying to get rid of. When it comes to the New Testament, we're told, pray without ceasing. That's right. But you better pray with a good heart. You better pray with good intentions, because if not, the Lord's going to hate that prayer. You see, Proverbs teaches that. It gets us ready to be those Christians we need to be. God hates immoral living. When you get to the New Testament, remember we talked in Galatians 5, the whole list of things that people were, the lusts of the flesh and those kind of activities. He has all those there. And then He says, but don't, if you do those, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. But put on the fruit of the Spirit. And Proverbs introduces us to that idea. Look at Proverbs 6, now 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Proverbs introduces us how the New Testament Christian, how we're going to live, how we're going to be. It introduces, now a lot of these things, of course, that the Christians evolved in today, they're the same things that they were under the old law. Same kind of laws, moral laws. Look what it says now, Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from evil women, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So it is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. You see, here the Lord is introducing the idea of be faithful to your mate. Live a good moral life. All that, that's introduced. So now when we come to the New Testament, how should a Christian live? There it is. Proverbs introduced it to us. As did some other books, but especially the book of Proverbs. Finally, Proverbs chapter 6, where we are right there before that, it mentions seven things that God hates. Seven things. And when you get to the New Testament, as a Christian, these are seven things that we're to hate. Verse 16 of chapter 6. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven are what? An abomination. That's the fourth time we've had it this morning. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. And when you get to the New Testament, God hates those things too. And as for a Christian, you can't have them in your life. First thing is, proud. You can't be full of pride. You've got to esteem others better than yourself. That's what it says in Philippians. There you go. A lying tongue. There you go. Speak the truth. And in fact, we're not even supposed to, the idea of taking a vow. No. You that your yea, your yes be yes. You be a man of your word. Next. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's murder. Of course, we don't take someone's life. A heart that devises wicked plans. That's the heart. How can I get this person? And it might be through gossip. It could be through jealousy, lots of things. What can I do to get this person. Feet that are swift to running evil. And in someone who's looking forward, instead of flee all appearances of evil, God hates somebody who runs to evil. A false witness, again, that's somebody who perjures somebody at court, things like that, that says it explicitly to hurt somebody. And then finally, one who sows discord among the brethren. You know, one of our past presidents, one of his famous lines was that, you know, the idea of the enemy. The United States has to be careful. It's not the enemies from the outside that can destroy any country. It's the enemies inside the country that can destroy you. And that's true. You take the church. Most of the time, if a church has some difficulties, it's not because somebody new moves in. You know, and then in a few weeks or even a month, because when they come in, it takes them a while to get to know people. And people sometimes are leery. We got to watch this person, or we need to just be extra careful, see what this person believes. And so it takes time. But as years go on, the trouble usually is someone who's been there for a while. And they have some friends on their side. And they have some people, they got three or four people working with them. So when they try doing something, they have people. And what they're trying to do, they're not trying to help the congregation. They're trying to get their own way in the congregation. There's a right way to do things. You got a problem, you go see the elders. Talk to the elders. See if we can try something. See if that's wrong. Study it. That's the right way. But no, the other people is, let's get our way. Let's do this. Let's get rid of this person. And the Lord cannot stand. This is in the book of Proverbs. So now you come to the New Testament. What does it say? If a brother or sister is not walking right, you have nothing to do with them. You give them over to Satan. The idea is they can't be a member here. We want them to be here, but they don't want to live right. No, not so. Not to eat with one. The idea of fellowshipping in the spiritual and in the physical way. We try to bring them back, but if not, then we can't have anything to do with them because they're going to cause discord. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The Lord cannot stand that. You see, the book of Proverbs, it's not only teaching the Christian how to live, it tells the New Testament church, this is what you need to do. This is what I hate. I'm your guide. You want to follow me? This is what I hate. You see, as you read the book of Proverbs, you see over and over again the gospel message. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, it's right in here. It tells you how to be a faithful servant of God. It tells you God's lifestyle and His character. This is what you need to have in. That's why, again, let's remind ourselves. This is why our theme comes from this book. There's 31 chapters. If you'll read one chapter a month, or one chapter a day, you'll read the book each month. That's 12 times. And I know some of you are doing it. Keep doing it. Read one chapter a day. Take you less than 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Some chapters even a little shorter than that. 5 minutes. That's one commercial of television or two. Read it each day. And then at the end of the month, you've read the whole book. 12 times. And I'll tell you, when you finish it, you'll be a better Christian, because that's what the book of Proverbs is getting you ready to be. A Christian who follows the only God, the only guide we have from the only book, that's the Bible. You know, we sing songs like, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, guide me. He did, right here. Book of Proverbs is guiding us. Each step I take. Yes, each step you take is because the guide has told you where to go. He leadeth me. He sure does lead you. He's the guide. And then he asks the question, though, who will follow Jesus? Who's going to follow him? I tell you who's going to follow him. The person who doesn't want to be proud. The person who's not going to lie. The person who's not going to murder. The person who's not going to look for wicked plans. The person who's not going to run to evil. The person who's not going to try to perjure someone. And the person who's not going to sow discord, but harmony and local church. That's who's going to run to him. And when they fall short, they're going to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. A Christian is not perfect, but he's forgiven. He strives each and every day. If you're not a Christian today, let me tell you, we come to the New Testament now, and we have the gospel sermon being preached on the day of Pentecost. And people hear the lesson, and then they say, what should we do? Remember, now it's a new law. The book of Proverbs doesn't teach this, but it tells you who the God is who's telling you. The God who wants you to obey and who created everything. Here's what He wants you to do. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. That's God. I want you to repent as believers and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That day, 3,000 said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm following my guide. And then later on, you read other chapters, it says thousands were added. And then there's been some throughout the book, of course, the scriptures who've fallen away. And that's why the Lord says, hey, you go and love that brother. You love that sister. Try to bring them back to the guide. If you've never followed the Lord, you need to do it this morning. You need to let the guide who's instructed you, hey, that's dangerous. Don't go there. Don't go over there. Don't do that. Do this. If you believe and you'll be baptized, you'll be saved. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. And if you're a child of God, listen to your guide. Beware. Confess your sins. And I'm faithful and just to forgive you. But if you don't confess, your soul's at stake for eternity in a terrible place. So if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do it right now while we stand and sing.